This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Ari Shapiro. For many musicians, touring is their main way of making money, and as soon as this pandemic hit, concerts and live performances were canceled. While many artists are now struggling to stay afloat, some have come up with creative ways to keep making music during this strange time. NPR music correspondent Ann Powers has been talking with musicians about the challenges and opportunities in this moment, and she's here with us to answer your questions. Hi, Ann. Great to have you here.
Hey, Ari. It's good to hear your voice.
I want to start by bringing in another voice, musician and activist Nikia Reynoso in Austin, Texas. It's good to have you with us, Nikia. Oh, Nikia, do we have you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, we can hear you. First, will you just tell us how this pandemic has affected you and the people in your creative community?
Well, I personally watched thousands of dollars evaporate before my eyes as my entire 2020 schedule was canceled. I was supposed to be singing on stage right now during this broadcast, but Threadgills, the 87-year-old iconic Austin venue I was set to play, has now shuttered permanently. And thousands of my fellow musicians in Austin are out of work. Our city is in real danger of losing all of our music venues and the billions of dollars that we bring into Austin.
And I know that is true of every city with a population of musicians. It's such a dire situation. Is there a question that Anne can help answer for you?
Sure. For years, musicians have depended on live shows to make up the majority of our income, while constantly fighting for fair royalties, while music streaming companies and corporate radio is now asking for a bailout. What is it going to take to get these companies to stop building their empires on the backs of songwriters and musicians and pay us the money we deserve? Or how about a bailout for the independent music venues that employ hundreds of thousands of staff and musicians across the country?
And do you see a way for these individual musicians all over the country to be lifted up by some of these bigger companies that are able to stay afloat right now?
Well, first off, Nikia, thank you so much for your words. Really raising consciousness about how the music industry works and how reliant all musicians are and so many other people are on live music is the first step. I mean, we're talking about, as you said, a $30 billion industry and, you know, employing everyone from sound people to people who work in venues to background singers to the pop stars we admire. I think people don't think about the things that bring them pleasure as work, you know? And musicians need to be seen as workers. And they also, it needs to be acknowledged that musicians, many of them live on the edge financially. And also that many have lost their day jobs because so many musicians work in the service industry.
Right, bartenders, waiters,
right. Exactly. So it's like, I've seen this in Nashville. It's such a huge double whammy and it is a genuine catastrophe. But what I find heartening, Ari and Nakia, is that musicians are not only being inventive in finding ways to directly connect with fans, maybe we'll talk about that a bit, through live streams and music subscription services, etc., but they are becoming activists. There is organized activism in Austin, they're in Nashville, in New York, in LA, all over the country, and I think that's so important. The activism is where it's at.
Well, Nikia, thank you for sharing your story with us. I hope that things take a turn, and we appreciate you continuing to make art in this tough time.
Well, thank you so much, and please make sure to check out my Tiny Desk contest entry.
Okay. And let's listen
also,
to...
So, get yourself out there, Nikia.
I love it. Let's go to another question. This comes from David in West Palm Beach, Florida, who's a freelance artist and classical musician.
We know that the concert-going experience is a very magical experience for both the performer and the audience. And as we move into the new pandemic and start to deal with it, how does the concert-going change because of COVID-19? What formats are now going to be available to us to be able to present and monetize on our concert experience? Because as freelance artists and musicians, it's very important to be able to strike a living from our work.
I'm trying to picture a socially distant concert hall where there's a person in every third seat and it just doesn't make economic sense, Anne?
It also doesn't make emotional sense, am I right? Ari, I mean, we want to be together. We want to be connecting with each other in the audience and with those artists. And, you know, every arts presenting organization that I know about is struggling with this question, how do we go on and keep the magic alive? But public safety has to come first. Then I think music lovers need to really learn that they have to sometimes pay for streaming music experiences, just as they pay for Netflix or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. I mean, we got to pony up, frankly.
Yeah. Well, you know, we actually have another question from a singer who has been doing a bunch of online concerts at home that speaks to this issue. This is from a singer-songwriter in your city of Nashville, Michaela Ann.
I've been doing weekly live stream concerts on Instagram and Facebook, and as odd as it is to sit alone and play at my computer screen, it has in some ways made me feel more connected to my audience than if I was standing on stage. The viewers can comment and share their own stories. I can interact in real time. It's less formal. It's an interesting juxtaposition how this time of social distancing is creating new avenues of connection that can feel even more intimate in a different way. How do you think these new ways to interact with audiences will carry over and change the music industry in the future?
What an interesting and kind of inspiring question, Anne. What would you say?
First of all, Michaela Ann is an inspiring artist. Everyone should check out her new recording. It's called Desert Dove. I'm very happy to hear her voice.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree that this pandemic is accelerating a change that was already happening, which is that the middle people are falling away in the music industry. And I say that as a critic, Ari, I am a middle person. So maybe I'm making myself obsolete. But you know, the direct-to-fan connection has never been stronger. And in a way, I think it's kind of going maybe back to the way we think about folk music or jazz, where dedicated fans know they have to truly financially help out the artists they love. At the same time, that can be very taxing for artists to have to be in, you know, where's their private life when everything is online?
Yeah.
I mean,
creating a new world before our eyes of the artist-fan relationship.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting.
In our last minute, we often end on Friday with what's helping listeners get through it. And I wonder if you could share with us something that you've been listening to lately that's keeping your spirits up.
Well, speaking of artists and fan relationships, I am the biggest fan of Rhiannon Giddens. She is one of my favorite artists. And she recently found in her archives a cover she had recorded of Bill Withers' song, Just the Two of Us. And this is the perfect song for this moment. It's all
just
about
the two of
connection.
Us.
Just the two
Let's
of us.
Let's listen to a little bit of it before we have to say goodbye.
I see the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all.
Anne Powers, thank you so much for joining us today.
Super fun, and we're going to get through it. Music lives. Music lives forever. Thanks so
Amen.
Much.
Amen. Have a great weekend, everybody. You're listening to The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.